Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
How do hospices pay the bills? Let's go in-depth with Community Foundation Director Jesse Underwood and Hospice Manager Carol Watson with the Pella Regional Health Center. Well, Jesse, I know that there was a very successful fundraising event, Hearts for Hospice. Can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Certainly, Bob. The Hearts for Hospice Gala event is an event we started 5 years ago to benefit the hospice care facility within our community through Pella Regional Health Center. This gala event is set up to have a silent auction and live auction, as well as an opportunity for some families to share some stories about their experience through hospice and the care that they've received through our Comfort House, and being able to really just be able to come together as a community to laugh, celebrate, shed some tears, and have some fun and raise some funds for the hospice of our community.
As you were saying that, it just seems to me this is such a community building organization, in the sense that you have an event like that, we have these shared experiences, these shared stories, and people understand the mission of hospice and Pella Regional Health Center, and they just all get together, and it's like a building a team, isn't it?
It really is. It takes a team of people to put this event together. It's grown in its capacity. In our first year, we had 75 people come, and we raised just a little over $10,000 to the successes you've seen this year. And having over 280 people come, we raised over $135,000. And just being able to say, you know, that we're going to put together a gala event in our community can be a challenge. Is that something that people would come out for? And is it something that people would be interested in? And where do we get their interest for this event? It's through hospice. It's because hospice is something that faces everyone in all walks of life. There comes a time and a need where hospice care can be a benefit. And so people understand that. And there were people that I had talked to prior to this event that said, you know, we haven't really faced loss yet. We haven't had anything in our family that has affected us. But we've always heard good things about the care. We've always heard good things about the staff at the Comfort House. And we know that it's there in our community, and it's something that they felt that they would be able to pride themselves upon. And then when that time did come, the stories that they had to share afterwards about the care that they did receive and how much it meant on their hearts and how it fulfilled their needs for their loved one. And it was really special. And so that's what's really helped this event to grow, is the hospice care that we provide.
Well, and Pella is really blessed with having the Comfort House. I've had friends at the Comfort House. I've been at the Comfort House for interviews. It's just a special place, isn't it, Carol?
It is. It's a place where families can now be families and not caregivers. And we tell people, you know, you don't have to take care of them. Now let us do that. You just be the wife or the husband or the daughter. You know, you don't have to worry about providing the care. We just want you to be there for them. And that gives them a different role now.
And if you haven't had somebody in that position where you're having to care for them, there's no way you can possibly know how important it is and what a vital role
it is. And it's very emotionally exhausting. People will tell me, I don't know why, I haven't done much today, but I am just exhausted. And a lot of that's just because of the emotional toll of being responsible for that care. And so it allows them to just be family.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about hospice with Community Foundation Director Jesse Underwood and Hospice Manager Carol Watson with the Pella Regional Health Center. Well, now you've had this successful Hearts for Hospice event, but you've got to be looking toward the future. You've got to be looking for things that are happening in the hospice world and in funding. And so what are you thinking about as we proceed through the year about future directions, messages you want to share? Anything top of your mind, either of you?
Well, it's really important that people understand that the need at hospice is year-long. It isn't something that is we need today and not tomorrow. It's a continuous need, not just for the patients and the communities and families that we serve, but also from a philanthropic standpoint, that memorials that are designated by families are greatly appreciated. Giving throughout the year to the Comfort House helps to continue the support and care of hospice within our community. The support we receive at this event or at other events like Light Up a Life that we have during the winter months are things that give families opportunities to be able to make a charitable difference, as well as their estates. When an estate writes hospice appella within their wills, it's a statement that they're making, not just for the seeds that they're planting today, but for the trees that will grow in the future.
Well, and you've got a gifted staff, don't you?
We do. They're very dedicated, very committed. They absolutely love what they're doing. And we get a lot of comments about, this must be a depressing job, this must be horrible, or they say, you're really special people. We believe none of that's true. We just love what we do. And we find a lot of satisfaction in knowing that people are comfortable when they die. And so if we can make that difference to the patient and to the family, then we've succeeded.
I feel that's also a testament to the mission statement of Pella Regional Health Center, to provide healthcare and healing services with Christian compassion. That compassion is felt from those nurses that are there with the boots on the ground at the patient's bedside, with those families, with the grief coordinators. It's something that even through volunteers that are there, it is known through Pella Regional Health Center that that's something that we're able to pride ourselves on.
Now, it's hard to know everything about the Comfort House and the services Pella Regional provides, unless you've had a family member go through it or you're going through it. A lot of people come in probably not knowing enough. What do you hear after people have been there, been through the process, how they wish, what they wish they would have known or what they wish they would have done different? Do you hear anything like that?
I hear that a lot. Actually, the biggest thing is I wish we'd had hospice earlier. I wish we'd gotten you involved sooner. So most of our patients will actually do better. They live longer once hospice gets involved. We manage their symptoms and treat that, and we're no longer seeking chemo or radiation, and so they are not having those horrible side effects that you get from those two things. We are very focused on managing pain. And so if a person's pain is controlled, they are much more happy, more relaxed, able to have conversations. And I think the other thing that they don't realize is that we also go into the homes. A lot of people want to die in their own home. So we do go in the homes. I think people think hospice is the Comfort House, but we also go into the homes. We have more patients on the home side than we actually do in the Comfort House. So that's another thing a lot of people don't really understand.
Well, a few years ago, I went with a hospice nurse, and we went into one of the homes at the invitation of one of the patients, and he was just sitting there watching his TV, having his magazines right there. He was just happy to entertain, and that was how he wanted it. And that's an option for everybody.
It is, as long as there's someone to take care of them. So they have to have that caregiver that's there. Hospice does not go in 24/7. Right. We're there for short periods of time. We're support system. We're to help you get things lined up, but we're not actually in the home for 24 hours a day. So most patients, if you talk to them, want to die in their own home, but it's whether or not there's that person there that can make sure that they're safe.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about hospice with Community Foundation Director Jesse Underwood and Hospice Manager Carol Watson with the Pella Regional Health Center. So let's go back to the point that people say that they should have come sooner. We're fighting an emotional barrier there, aren't we? And
huge.
A cultural barrier.
Yes, very much
and
so.
And it's, we just have to get by that. It's like, I don't know, even know how to describe it, but I bet you do. There's just a wall that we have to break through to say, it's time.
It's very hard. There's a lot of emotions going on. Go ahead.
I've heard it defined as hope, that people are holding on to hope. But there's also hope with hospice, that the care that they'll receive is just exactly what that family might need. It's not that they're necessarily looking at it as failure, but it's the abilities to be able to provide the care that's needed at the time that it's needed for that family member.
Well, it's hard for us to say, I can't do that. I mean, I can't care for this person I love. It's hard to say that because that's what we do. We care for the people we love. And finally, it's hard to say, I need help. We're islands. We don't like to say we need help.
Completely. I think we're doing a volunteer class right now. And the class said, I can give help, but I can't ask for help. So, and I think that's most of us. I can totally help you. You just asked me, but I'm not going to ask for help. So it's very, very hard to admit that I'm at this point in my life where I can't do it anymore, or I need your help. It's kind of a pride thing sometimes. You know, we're very independent people, and it's very hard to accept that help.
And so somehow we just need to recognize that it's not our pride that should be engaged, that we should worry about that or about us. It's about the helping the person, the beloved family member, get the help they need, even if we have to ask for it as a caregiver.
Correct.
I'm just really trying to sort through this. I mean, I've been through this with my family, and I want to really understand what are some of the barriers to providing, you know, the care of our loved ones that they need. And this seems to be an important one.
Well, and I think another thing that is changed, for women especially, we are almost natural-born caregivers. We want to take care of you, but the role that we've had in the past has been to be a mother, or in that caregiving role where we want to feed people. And so, you know, you come over to visit my house, I'm going to put out the treats, the desserts, whatever. And I think as caregivers, and we're constantly trying to feed our patients, most of them, as they decline, aren't hungry anymore, and yet we're forcing them to eat, which makes them nauseated. And so hospice comes in and says, you know, if you don't want to eat that meal, don't eat that meal. And I've had patients turn to me and say, are you kidding? Thank you. I've been trying to tell her I don't want to eat anymore. And so we'll talk about eating small amounts, we'll talk about eating more frequently, but listen to your body, and if you don't want to eat, don't eat.
Also, the point being is that sometimes we don't really know enough. We're not trained
Correct.
To know how to help people like the hospice nurses are.
And that's where hospice, we are trained. We will help you understand the body's natural process. Dying, the body understands. The body knows what it's supposed to do. We complicate things by interrupting that process constantly. We put IV fluids in when we shouldn't have. We're feeding them when we shouldn't. And so we're doing a lot of things to interrupt the process, and it just complicates it. So the hospice nurses are all trained, and we help you, the patient, and the family understand that this is natural and normal, and not to fight that part. And if you don't fight it, your body will take care of you. It releases endorphins when there's dehydration. If you're a healthy person, dehydration is bad. If you're a declining patient and getting closer to the dying process, dehydration is a good thing. Endorphins are released and you don't have as much pain. So there's a lot of things that our body knows what it's supposed to do if we'd let it.
Well, and like you said before, a lot of us are caregivers. We want to help people. And given that hospice isn't one of those things that is funded as we might like it to be by insurance or, you know, by various government programs, we can all help and be part of that caregiver by supporting the Comfort House, Hospice Appella, and we can all do it with various size gifts.
Exactly. Yep. Being able to receive those gifts is a blessing for our organization, for us to be able to continue the care through hospice, and being able to take part in events like hospice, Hearts for Hospice, and looking at the scheduled date for this coming year will be February 17th of 2018. We've already scheduled that date out, and we're already putting together the committees to plan for this event, because it is something that our community has shown great interest in and support of, from the business sponsorships to the donations. This past year, we received over 150 donations from businesses and departments within the hospital coming together to put together gift baskets for us to be able to bring to this event, to being able to look at funding a need. This past year, we at the Comfort House had a need for a van to be able to care for a patient's last request. Maybe it was to go to the family farm one more time, or just one more chance to go get their hair done or see the tulips. And we needed a van that we could be able to have a reliable transportation for those patients. And we were able to fund that through our Fund the Need portion of our event, from the people within the community who had came out and showed their hearts for hospice and made that purchase possible for us that night.
Well, and Carol, you're there running the program, seeing its day-to-day operations, and know what everybody, you know, goes through as part of this. What were your emotions the night when you were there at Hearts for Hospice and you looked around the room and you saw all these kind, giving people? What went through your head?
First, it was kind of an awe. You know, wow, look at all this, because we are a small department and we are just on that day-to-day grind that we work. And that night I looked around and it was just an awe. It's like, wow, all these people care about hospice. I had several staff members there who were just, this was their first time there, and they were just kind of blown away. They were like, I can't believe all these people are supporting us. The other thing is just, it's humbling to know that people care about this program that much, that they're opening their pocketbooks, because we all know that's kind of, you know, it says a lot when people are willing to open their purse strings and help hospice. I think what a lot of people don't understand is hospice is a Medicare benefit. So we are paid per diem, which is a daily rate to take care of these patients. So Medicare does pay us. It's usually not enough to cover the expenses. After they pay us, they say, you go take care of that patient. So we pay for all the equipment, their medications, the staff, all their salaries are coming out of that. So it's not enough to cover it. So we rely very heavily on the memorials and these fundraisers. And, you know, we really couldn't survive without everybody's generosity.
Thanks to Jesse Underwood and Carol Watson for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.